The Product Podcast is back with a brand new season. This time we are featuring 8 of the brightest minds in the industry. Our latest episodes will highlight insights, methods, and strategies that are being used at the top tech companies around the world.
If you are eager to start your product career, head to our website to learn more about product management certificates. This is Jay.
And this is Eva, and we hope you enjoy all the latest insights brought to you by Product School. Product world for some time now. Could you give us a little background about how you found yourself transitioning into product management in the first place?
Sure. So I did actually a master's degree in communication and media management, which was surprisingly not so far away from product management in the end. Even if I didn't know while studying, it helped me a lot in my current working day-to-day experience. So I studied, and next to my studies, I was working at an agency for a couple of years where I actually had to do a lot of back-end and front-end and UX stuff my own. So I had the background on how to develop products. And then when I studied in London and was working next to my studies at Sport Pursuit, which is an online shop, I had the opportunity to observe PM in real life and see what this person was doing. And to be honest, then I decided that makes sense because I never wanted to become a developer in the end. I never wanted to become a designer. So product management was the obvious choice for me in the end.
Cool. And that's actually a perfect segue for the next question. As you just mentioned, you were a front-end developer, you were a designer, you've done programming, and you said that you didn't want to do those. You decided that you wanted to transition into product management. But my question with those, do you still use the skills from these previous jobs in your work, in your product management work?
I'm not using them, like really building the product we're building here at N26, but being able to make all these experiences beforehand, I would say definitely helps when it comes to working with the different disciplines every day, because in the end you then speak the same language. But yeah, I'm currently not using the skills in my day-to-day work, but rather for side projects.
Sure. And so what does a typical day-to-day look like for you?
So since I'm working on very central parts of N26, which require me to have a lot of sessions with stakeholders and get alignment across the whole business, I block most of my mornings for deep work and collaboration work within my own team. And I try to have the afternoons free for meetings. And since we're also in the US, we have kind of a time difference. So afternoons are for meetings most of the time. One thing I'm currently experimenting with actually is setting a daily highlight, which is roughly 1 hour and 30 minutes, where I try to completely being focused on one topic. And that's something I have read in the book Make Time by Jake Knapp, which helps immense. Like if you have a specific time a day where you only focus on one thing and nobody can disturb that time, you really get stuff done.
Sure. Okay, nice. So you've had product management jobs in both Germany and Spain, is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. So does product management change across country lines? Was there a difference between the way that you worked in Germany and the way that you work in Spain? Like, what's it like and what are the product communities like in those different places?
So I think it's pretty hard for me personally to compare because both companies I worked for are German in its core. N26 is a bit more international, but both of the companies had English as the main language. the only difference I would see, and that has nothing to do with Germany or Spain, is rather in what growth state the company is. So on the one hand side, 16-year-old mature social network with Xing, where I worked before. On the other side, a startup in hypergrowth trying to conquer a lot of markets in Europe and across the world. So doing product management in a startup is, for me, much faster, and you have to adapt to a lot of constant change. But yeah, in the end, I think that has nothing to do with Germany and Spain, but rather it really depends on what the company you're working in which stage they are.
Sure. There's a lot of topics that touch on the differences between being a product manager in a, you know, a large corporation versus a startup. So that's actually very interesting that you're comparing the differences, not across country lines, but across kind of company size lines. And that's something that we get a lot of questions about. Going back to your education, you mentioned how your studies in university were actually quite helpful for your product management career. And I also saw that on your LinkedIn, you took a lot of certificate courses and you studied outside of the, you know, traditional university sphere. What's your take on certificate courses and kind of learning product management in a different manner outside of university or colleges?
That's a really good question. For me personally, I was really lucky that actually most of the things I've learned in university, I could apply to being a product manager, and I didn't have to start at zero. So I had a lot of basis already of knowledge on how to develop products and stuff. If you're coming from a different background and you're transitioning into product management from marketing or tech or whatever, I believe they can be really helpful to get you into the basics. On the other hand, I would say product management is also a lot of common sense and like doing the experience that comes with time. So nothing that can be taught to you in a course. So you get the basics in the course, but then it's really doing the work on a daily basis and over a couple of months or years. There might be specific situations where a course definitely makes sense. I can also give an example for when I worked at Xing in Germany, I was working in a purely data science, data engineering team. And I was offered to do the nano degree from Udacity to become a data scientist to better understand what teams are actually talking about. So in these very specific cases, I would say it makes sense to broaden your horizon and to learn more. If you're transitioning into product management, it definitely makes sense to get into a course and learn the basics, to be honest.
Yeah, sure. That makes total sense. And, you know, you kind of have to pick up skills here and there in different ways. And a lot of these skills really are kind of learned on the job. We get a lot of people who kind of tell us the same thing and talk about their work-life culture where they maybe felt like they had some imposter syndrome because they weren't feeling like they totally knew everything initially. And I like this segue too, because you actually founded the PM Library, which is awesome. And we've had some people discuss some of the books in there. Could you tell us a little bit more about what inspired your desire to create this library? And building off of that, what is the first book you'd recommend to a product manager?
Sure. Actually, my favorite topic. Like roughly a year ago, my co-founder and also girlfriend, who is also a product manager, Lena, we were coming to a point that we, after being in product management for a couple of years, that we actually finished all the must-read books on product management. And so we were looking for new content to read. And to be honest, Amazon was not really helpful with that. And like finding new books and discover new books that are being recommended by other people in the industry was just not possible. So PM Library today is a Medium publication where we try to curate and recommend great books for product folks, but also people in general working in tech. We have different formats like collections, where we try to come up with like up to 10 books to a specific topic, like product discovery or books for product people regarding design, regarding economics, these kind of things. But we also have formats like, we call it on my shelf articles, where people from the industry, they're recommending their favorite books, because it's not only us finding out what books are on the market currently, but also people working in the States or people from India, they might read completely different things, which could also still be interesting for someone living in Spain, the UK or Germany. So today we are four editors in the end. So two of our best friends, Shane and Josh, have joined us to take forces. One is a user researcher, the other one is a tech lead. So we try to get more topics into our offer. And we have actually roughly around 10,000 people viewing our content on a monthly basis. So if you want to check it out, it's the pmlibrary.com. It's a Medium publication. But if you want to have the first book, I would recommend to any product person, and not mentioning the classics like Inspired by Mark Dekagan or Product Leadership by Martin Erickson. For me personally, there are two books, which is Creativity Inc., which is the story of the founder of Pixar. And the second is The Trillion Dollar Coach by Eric Schmidt, which came out last year. They don't only tell you product management basics or things you can use to build better products, but more likely they teach you on how to navigate modern companies and how to make the people around you better and therefore build better products. So I always recommend these two books to everyone who asks me that question.
That's awesome. And something I really love about those suggestions is that it's not the typical PM recommendation. I like the fact that there's a little more to it that kind of falls outside of the realm of product management, but can still be used for product management. I think that's really important when suggesting literature and kind of opening the mind of a potential product manager.
Yeah, totally.
Can I ask if you're reading anything good right now?
Currently I'm reading two books actually. One is AI Superpower, the challenge or the battle between the US, China and Silicon Valley kind of. And the other one is Irresistible, I think it's called. It's pretty nice, like how you can shut down the tech we're actually building on a daily basis and make the most use for your day rather than just following every push notification and every alert.
Oh, that's cool. I need to add those to my list.
Yeah, I don't know about you. Those are definitely going on my list.
Yeah. My recommendation for product people, I wish I could remember the name of the author off the top of my head, but it's called Blood, Sweat and Pixels. And it's all about, it's different anecdotes from game development and all the things that go on behind like the biggest games of the year and like why there are delays and everything. And as a bit of a gaming nerd, it's like, it's my dream book. So I recommend that one. Cool. So besides literature, what resources would you recommend for people looking to increase their knowledge? What do you think are the best ways for people to pursue new skills, particularly, I guess, if they're already working a full-time job and they can't say, oh, I'm just going to go back to university?
Personally, I'm actually a big fan of community building and sharing knowledge. So therefore, I would encourage every product manager to go at least to one bigger product conference a year, or attend local meetups that usually happen in most of the major cities around the globe. If you don't have the budget to go there, I always recommend just watching the talks on YouTube or Vimeo, because most of the bigger conferences, they actually record the talks. And by watching peers who have most of the same challenges and maybe already creative solutions, that always helps to broadening your horizon and learn something new. So for me, it's just like talking to people on conferences and these meetups is something I would encourage everyone to do.
Yeah, I'd be remiss if at this moment I didn't mention ProductCon, which is our annual conference, well, four times a year conference, and we always have the free live stream because we know that not everyone has the budget to go to events, and sometimes you can't get the day off work. So yeah, we always send out the free live stream. Just a little plug there for ProductCon.
Yeah, I'd be remiss if I let you say four. I believe it's five.
It is five. Yeah. Oh my goodness.
Yeah. So sorry about that. It is five times a year, but yeah. Speaking of ProductCon, and kind of this is a perfect segue because you work at N26 right now, correct?
Yes.
And we actually just had one of your colleagues give a excellent talk at ProductCon, which happened today. But yeah, so N26 is this really exciting company, and we have a lot of people who are super excited to hear from product managers from N26. Could you tell us how you were attracted to this position, and what is your day-to-day like at N26? Could you give us a little bit more about the kind of things you do in such a disruptive business?
Sure. So I'm working at N26 since last year. But before joining N26, which is a mobile only bank, last year I was actually a user already from the very beginning for a couple of years. So I really loved how they brought a completely new and fresh user experience to this very traditional and old market of banking. To be honest, I was struggling a lot with traditional banks and all the paperwork and the fact that you need to go to a physical branch to do almost everything. So improving the daily lives of millions of our users was definitely something I wanted to put my efforts in. And then last year, I was able to join the team. Currently here in Barcelona, we're roughly 130 people, and I'm working in our memberships team where we define how our premium and free membership products are equipped. And my team is also working on some card provisioning topics across the business. We have quite a number of interesting topics here in Barcelona as well. Our main or our headquarters is in Berlin, but we also have offices in Vienna and Sao Paulo and New York.
Awesome. Oh, wow. So my next question is, how involved are you in the hiring or the interview process for new members on your team? What are the sort of things you would hope for in your prospective teammates?
So usually applicants to N26 need to prepare a quite extensive case where they then need to present on when they come into the office in the last step of their application process. So I am mainly involved in that stage where they present the case, or in the stage where we want to see if they fit to the people already working at the company. Personally, in those interviews, I'm always looking for applicants that either ask the right questions before jumping to any answers or conclusions, and the ones that clearly show that they want to learn. Because I think someone who is an intrinsic and lifelong learner is always the best person you can hire, in my opinion, because they are never satisfied. They always want to get into topics and want to learn new things. So these are the skills I'm usually observing the most in applicants.
Sure, and that makes total sense. I think it's the people who are not, like you said, satisfied with just, okay, this is enough. Like, I'm gonna be complacent and just kind of go with it. It's kind of the people who really are go-getters. And this is perfect for what I'm about to ask, because you had a side project with the PM library, or it was mostly your baby, so to speak. Let's just call it that. What's your take on side projects for applicants? How important are those for someone who's looking to break into product management?
To be honest, I'm a huge fan of having side projects because it gives you flexibility to try out things you want to do. In a lot of cases, when you work at the company, there are some restrictions. The bigger the company, the more restrictions probably. So having like a playground where you can do things that you really want to do and where you want to spend hours on improving or solving a problem for people, I think there is nothing better than having a side project, to be honest.
Speaking of having a side project, a lot of people have their side projects as well as their full-time job, and then maybe they're also trying to make time for events and to network and to catch an interesting webinar. And all that, what this comes down to is having the right amount of time for all of these things. I mean, we all have the same amount of hours in a day. And sometimes it can seem like a bit of a daunting task to try and fit all of these things in, which might have people putting off their side projects. They might have this great idea, but they just think, oh, I just don't have the time. There's too much to do. What's your advice for trying to find time for things that matter to you?
Like I said in the beginning, there is great literature that teaches you on how to better use or make use of your time. Like, for example, Making Time from Jake Knapp, where they have different techniques. For example, the highlight I was mentioning earlier. So you really carve out a specific part of your day where nobody can distract you. And you really make sure that you get the time for stuff that is important to you. And when you then think of having that 1 or 1.5 hours for something, probably not work related, but side project related, and you do this 5 times a week, you will really make progress in those 5 days, to be honest, because that's mainly how I'm doing it. Or if you're comfortable spending a weekend, why not? Like, there's always like people really have time.
It's true. I mean, it's really just about being diligent and being disciplined and setting time aside to do something that you're passionate about or something that you want to pursue. You're going to have to carve time out if you really want to achieve something. So that makes total sense.
Yeah, like many things, I guess you've just got to focus on the why, like the goal of why you want to do these things.
Sure.
So you've already accomplished quite a lot, both in your career and with your side projects like the PM Library. Is there anything like new on the horizon that you have in mind for yourself, like any new projects or new skills you want to learn?
So since we moved to Barcelona not even a year ago, and I'm actually super happy at the moment at N26, I don't see big changes coming up for me. On the other side, I was taking part in a startup hackathon 2 weeks ago here in Barcelona with Demium. And I'm currently reading a lot about entrepreneurship, so articles and watching videos and being part in the Y Combinator startup school with the PM Library. So starting something on my own, like founding an own company, is definitely something I want to look into in the next couple of years, and I would love to do
that. I mean, that's the dream. It sounds like definitely something you can do, considering that you already have such a, you know, extensive and impressive background. And I mean, the PM Library, I already checked it out. I love it. So I think it's clearly something big is on.
Thanks.
Anything to do with books, and both of us were right there.
Yeah, you give us a book, we're going to have an opinion on it. So going away from your career a little bit, if someone got a new product management job and they're starting out on their first day, what would you tell them to do in the first 30 days at their new position? What is something that they should expect to achieve?
I really think it depends on if this is your first product management job or not. So as I started as a PM in the very beginning, having no idea what a PM actually does, I believe the most important thing for new PMs is shadowing someone very senior and what they're doing on a daily basis. Because like I said before, product management in the end is something you need to observe other people doing it and do it on your own. I was actually pretty lucky at Xing when I started my first product management job to have great 2 mentors that I could shadow for the first couple of weeks and to learn and get their advice on everything I was doing. If you're coming in as a already mid or senior PM to a new job, my advice would always be just meet as many people as possible within the company, but also try to see if you can shadow maybe your customer support agents to see what problems your users are having on a daily basis, or like what is out there. Like familiarize yourself with the product you're having on the market. Look into numbers to try to understand how they're performing. Even if it's not in your area, try to understand the business as a whole and the goals the business wants to achieve. On the other side, also what problems the users are having and how you then in the end can combine those two.
Hey, well, that's really awesome advice. So one last question from me. Do you have any advice for someone? Let's imagine there's a listener listening to this right now, and they've just sort of stumbled upon product management. They think it might be for them, but they're completely starting from zero. They have no product experience. They're not in the product world. They're doing something completely unrelated, but they know that this is what they want to get into. What's your advice for starting from zero?
So, product management is clearly one of the hot jobs currently on the market across the world, and a lot of people want to work in tech as a PM. But next to this shiny outside of PM is mostly talking with other people and improving other people. Like, you need to improve your team, you need to improve the way how your users dealing with problems, and you're improving something for stakeholders to some extent. So I think everything a PM does is you can learn it. But if you don't love to talk to people and build communities around you, I think it's the wrong job. But if you love to talk to people and build these communities, I think it's the best job in the world you can do.
I mean,
couldn't end on a more positive note.
I think that's the perfect finisher on all of the podcasts. So we just want to say thank you so much for taking your time.
What did you think about today's episode? Let us know. Head over to productschool.com or our Slack channel to join in the conversation. Catch us next week when we speak to another top-minded product.